Welcome to Zichu Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Masechet Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chaf Dalad. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states regarding a kli shemolach l'heter, called kelim nitan l'tzorach v'shelo l'tzorach. All kelim may be moved, whether they are needed or not. I mean, Nehemiah says, ein nitan el l'tzorach. They may not be moved unless they are needed. So there's a machlokas how to understand the Mishnah. According to Rabbah, the word l'tzorach in the Mishnah means l'tzorach kufo. And the words shelo l'tzorach means l'tzorach makomo. Rabbi Nehemiah disagrees with the Tanakam and says that a kli shemolachta l'heter can only be moved l'tzorach, meaning l'tzorach gufo. Rava holds that the words l'tzorach means l'tzorach gufo and l'tzorach makomo, and the words shelo l'tzorach means machama l'tzel, in order to provide protection. Rabbi Nehemiah disagrees with the Tanakam and says that a kli shemolachta l'heter can be moved l'tzorach gufo and l'tzorach makomo, but not machama l'tzel. Point number two, the next Mishnah introduces a machlokas regarding broken kelim. The Tanakhama says that all kelim that may be moved on Shabbos may be moved if they broke as well. The Mishnah qualifies this and says, "Bilvad she'osim me'in malacha," provided that they can be used to perform some sort of task. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that these broken pieces may be moved, however, "Bilvad she'osim me'in malachtan," provided they can perform a semblance of their former task, such as a broken piece of a mixing bowl, which can still be used as a bowl to pour porridge into. There's a machlokes on a rhyme whether the kelim mentioned in the Mishnah broke on Shabbos or on Erev Shabbos. And point number three, everyone agrees that a broken piece of earthenware may be moved. There's a machlokes on a rhyme, however, about in which area this applies. Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel that it may be moved in a courtyard, in a chatzer, but not in a karmelis. Rashi explains that a chatzer often has vessels that are fit to be covered by a shard of earthenware, and therefore it's not muksa. Rav Nachman himself says that an earthenware shard can be moved in a karmelis as well. Rashi explains that people often sit down in a karmelis since it's not so busy, and they can use it to cover the spittle. Rav holds that the shard can even be moved in a rishus harabim. Rashi explains that since it has a use in the courtyard, it does not lose its classification as a kli when in rishus harabim. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the next Mishnah states regarding a kli shemolachta l'heter, called kelim nitan l'tzorach v'shelo l'tzorach. All kelim may be moved, whether they are needed or not. Rabbi Nehemiah says, ein nitan el l'tzorach. They may not be moved unless they are needed. There's a machlokas how to understand the Mishnah. According to Rabbah, the word l'tzorach in the Mishnah means l'tzorach gufo, and the words shelo l'tzorach mean l'tzorach makomo. Rabbi Nehemiah disagrees with the Tanakam and says that a kli shemolachta l'heter can only be moved l'tzorach, meaning l'tzorach gufo. Rabbah holds that the word l'tzorach means l'tzorach gufo and l'tzorach makomo, and the words shelo l'tzorach means machama l'tzel, in order to provide a protection. Rabbi Nehemiah disagrees with the Tanakhama and says that a kli shemolachta l'heter can be moved l'tzorach gufo and l'tzorach makomo, but not machama l'tzel. Point number two, the next Mishnah introduces a machlokas regarding broken kelim. The Tanakhama says that all kelim that may be moved on Shabbos may be moved if they broke as well. The Mishnah qualifies this, ubavad she'osin me'in malacha, provided they can be used to perform some sort of task. Rav Yehuda agrees that these broken pieces may be moved, ubavad she'osin me'in malachtan, provided that they can perform a semblance of their former task, such as a broken piece of a mixing bowl, which can still be used as a bowl to pour porridge into. There's a machlokas amarayim whether the kelim mentioned the Mishnah broke on Shabbos or on Erev Shabbos. And point number three, everyone agrees that a broken piece of earthenware may be moved. There's a machlokas amarayim, however, about in which area this applies. Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel that it may be moved in a chatzer, but not in a karmelis. Rashi explains that a chatzer often has vessels that are fit to be covered by a shard of earthenware, and therefore it's not muksa. Rav Nachman himself says that an earthenware shard can be moved in a karmelis as well. And Rashi explains that people often sit down in a karmelis since it's not so busy, and they can use it to cover their spittle. Rava holds that the shard can even be moved in rishus harabim. Rashi explains that since it has a use in the chatzer, it doesn't lose its classification as a kli when in rishus harabim. All right, so now we go to our Simcha Kuf Chav Dalad, and we had a lot of suggestions around kicked. We had a football player kicked the ball, an addict who kicked the habit, a troublemaker who got kicked out of class. We had cock-a-doodle-doos, roosters, Cape Cods, crocodiles, ducks, backwards, cicadas, cue cards, a cool kid, a cocked rifle. David Samuels from Johannesburg suggested a Chinese tourist with a Kodak camera. But I'm going to go with a suggestion that comes from Charlie Myers from Scottsdale, Arizona, and Danny Wolf from Denver, who suggested cookie dough. Cookie dough. So we're going to use cookie dough as our sim for Kuf Chav Dalad. So thank you very much, Charlie and Danny, for that suggestion. So here goes. The cookie dough kept in the kli shemolachta l'heter that could be moved whether needed or not was so delicious people even ate it in broken mixing bowl pieces they had found in a karmelis covering some spittle. Once again, in slow motion. The cookie dough, that must be run duff, kuf chav dalad. The cookie dough kept in the klishim alakdala heter, that could be moved whether needed or not, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states regarding a klishim alakdala heter, kola kelim nitan letzorach v'shalo letzorach. All kelim may be moved whether they are needed or not. Rabbi Nechemiah says, ein nitan ela letzorach. They may not be moved unless they are needed. There's a malchus how to understand the Mishnah. According to Rabbah, the word letzorach in the Mishnah means letzorach gufo, and the words shalo letzorach mean letzorach makomo. Rabbi Nechemiah disagrees with the Tanakam and says that a kli shemalakta leheter can only be moved letzorach, meaning letzorach gufo. Rabbah holds that the word letzorach means letzorach gufo and letzorach makomo, and the words shalo letzorach means machamo letzel, in order to provide a protection. Rabbi Nechemiah disagrees with the Tanakam and says that a kli shemalakta leheter can be moved letzorach gufo and letzorach makomo, but not machamo letzel. So the cookie dough kept in the kli shemalakta leheter that can be moved whether needed or not was so delicious people even ate it in broken mixing bowl pieces, which reminds us the next Mishnah introduces Malkos regarding broken kelim. The Tanakhama says that all kelim that may be moved on Shabbos may be moved if they broke as well. The Mishnah qualifies this, Bovad she'osin mein malacha, provided that they can be used to perform some sort of task. Rav Yehuda agrees that these broken pieces may be moved, u'bovad she'osin mein malachtan, provided they can perform a semblance of their former task, such as a broken piece of a mixing bowl, which still can be used as a bowl to pour porridge into. There's a malchokas and a rhyme whether the kelim mentioned the Mishnah broke on Shabbos or on Erev Shabbos. So the cookie dough kept in the kli shemalakta leheter that could be moved whether needed or not was so delicious people even ate it in broken mixing bowl pieces they found in a karmelis, covering some spittle. Which reminds us everyone agrees that a broken piece of earthenware may be moved. There's a malchokas and a rhyme, however, about in which areas this applies. Rav Nachman said in Neimah Shmuel that it may be moved in a chatzar, but not in a karmelis. Rashi explains that a chatzar often has vessels that are fit to be covered by a shard of earthenware, and therefore is not muksa. Rav Nachman himself says that an earthenware shard can be moved in a karmelis as well. Rashi explains that people often sit down in a karmelis, since it's not so busy, and they can use it to cover their spittle. Rava holds that this shard can even be moved in Rosh Hashanah. Rashi explains that since it has a use in the chatzar, it doesn't lose its classification as a kli when it's in Rosh Hashanah. So once again, the cookie dough kept in the kli shemalakta leheter that could be moved whether needed or not was so delicious people even ate it in broken mixing bowl pieces they had found in a karmelis covering some spittle. Now it's time for a four blah bah chazara. Daf kuf chav. So the symbol kuf chav is a cook. So here goes. The camp cook. Cook, that means run daf kuf chav. The camp cook who stored 100 meals in a basket, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that one may save a basket full of loaves from a burning house even though it has enough in it for 100 meals, which contradicts the previous Mishnah that stated one is only permitted to save enough food for 3 meals. So Rav Huna answered that the two cases are different. In this Mishnah, the person is Bala Hatzel. He's coming to save one basket of food from a burning house. Therefore, he may save everything in it. Rashi explains that in this instance, it only requires a single act of removal. In the previous Mishnah, however, the person is Bala Kapel. He's coming to bundle together several baskets of food, which requires separate efforts. And therefore, he's limited to only saving enough for 3 meals. Rav Abba Bar Zavda presents a different answer. So the camp cook who stored 100 meals in a basket, perched on top of clay pots filled with water, which reminds the next Mishnah introduces Malchokas Hanan regarding containing a fire. Rabbi Shimon ben Nana says one may spread a kid's hide over a carriage trunk or closet that are on fire because it only singes the hide. Similarly, one can make a partition of all kinds of kalim, whether they're full or empty, to prevent the fire from passing. Rashi explains that the case of them being full is when they are full of water. Rav Yossi prohibits using new earthenware vessels filled with water because they can't withstand the fire, and when they burst, they'll extinguish the fire. The Gemara clarifies that according to Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas, there is no concern with the vessel burst since he holds garm kibui mutter. Causing extinguishment indirectly is permitted. So the camp cook who stored 100 meals in a basket perched on top of clay pots filled with water always had a blade of reed grass wrapped around his arm, and no one knew why. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings up Brisa that contradicts both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas, who's referred to as the Rabbanan. The Brisa states that a person that has the name of God written on his skin should not wash or anoint that area. He may also not stand in a filthy place. Lastly, if he's required to do a tefillah shel mitzvah, he should wrap a blade of reed grass over the name and then immerse himself. Rabbi Yossi says he may descend in an ordinary way as long as he doesn't directly rub off the name. Apparently, the Rabbanan hold that indirect causing or erasure is forbidden, whereas Rabbi Yossi holds that it's permitted, which is the opposite of what they hold about indirectly extinguishing. So the Gemara resolves the contradiction of the Rabbanan by stating that the reason for requiring covering the written name of Hashem with reed grass is not because it will cause the erasure of Hashem's name, but rather that it's prohibited to stand naked before the written name. The Gemara continues and resolves the contradiction of Rabbi Yossi as well. Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. So the symbol of Kuf Chaf Aleph is cocoa. So here goes. When Pedro, the cocoa bean farmer, that means run Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. So when Pedro, the cocoa bean farmer, ran to extinguish the Jewish home on fire, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that one may not say to a Gentile that has come to extinguish a fire, extinguish it, but he doesn't have to tell him, do not extinguish it, because the Gentile's Shvisa is resting on Shabbos is not the Jew's responsibility. However, one may not allow a Jewish child to extinguish it because the child's Shvisa is his responsibility. Rabbi Yochanan clarifies the Mishnah forbids allowing a child to extinguish a fire specifically since the child wants to extinguish the fire for his father. But in a case where the child is acting for himself, such as in the case of him eating Nevela, one is not mandated to stop the child. So the Gemara asks, why then is it permitted to let a Gentile extinguish a fire since he's acting on behalf of the Jew? The Gemara answers, that a Gentile always acts in his own self-interest. So when Pedro the cocoa bean farmer ran to extinguish the Jewish home on fire, he had to dodge bowls covering chicken feces, which reminds us, the next Mishnah teaches that one may invert a bowl over tzoa shel katan, a child's feces. Rabbi Avin was teaching his son that the Mishnah means that one may cover child's feces in order that a child will not dirty himself from it. Rav Chanan bar Rava corrected Rabbi Avin and said that a child's feces is not muksa since dogs nibble it and is therefore considered muchan, prepared for their consumption. Therefore, it doesn't need to be covered since it can be moved. Rather, said Rav Chanan, the Mishnah's teaching that one may invert a bowl over chicken feces so that a child will not get himself dirty from it. Chicken feces is muksa since it's not fit for dogs and therefore it cannot be moved. So when Pedro, the cocoa bean farmer, ran to extinguish the Jewish home on fire, he had to dodge bowls covering chicken feces and decide if he should kill some poisonous snakes. Which reminds us, a teacher of Bryce is taught in the presence of Rav Bar Rav Huna that if one kills poisonous snakes or scorpions on Shabbos, Ein ruach chassidim nocha amenu. Chassidim are not pleased with him for killing a creature on Shabbos unnecessarily. Rav Bar Rav Huna responded that Ein ruach chachami nocha mehem. The sages are not pleased with those chassidim. Rashi explains that even though that those creatures did not pose a current direct danger, they will present a danger when they're angry. The Gemara notes that Rav Huna disagrees with his son Rav, for he once saw a person killing a bee on Shabbos and said to him, "Have you finished killing them off?" Rashi explains that Rav Huna questioned what had been accomplished as there are still more bees. This shows that Rav Huna does not allow killing bees indiscriminately. Daf Kuf Chabe, so the simon is corn on the cob. So here goes. The Jew eating corn on the cob, that must be run Daf Kuf Chabez. So the Jew eating corn on the cob in the dark was thrilled when a non-Jewish stranger turned on the lights, which reminds us, the last mission in the Perek states that if a Gentile lit a lamp for himself, a Jew may use its light, but if the Gentile lit the lamp for the Jew, he may not use it. The same principle applies if a Gentile drew water for his animal or built a gangplank to disembark from a boat. The mission concludes with the story of Rabbi Gamliel and the Zakenim disembarking on a gangplank that a Gentile made. The Gemara brings a brace that limits the mission's ruling and states that one can only benefit from the Gentile's work if she'eno makiro. The Gentile does not know the Jew. Rashi explains that if he knew him, we assume he did the malach on behalf of the Jew as well. So the Jew eating corn on the cob in the dark was thrilled when a non-Jewish stranger turned on the lights because he can now remove the door from his trunk, which reminds us, based on the opening mission of the 17th parak, which discusses moving kelim and their doors on Shabbos, the Gemara brings a brace that states the doors of a carriage, trunk, or closet may be removed from its socket on Shabbos, but may not be reinserted. The Gemara asks on a brisa that if the Tana holds yesh binyan bekelim, yesh stir bekelim, that he holds that there is a prohibition to build kelim on Shabbos, he must hold there is a prohibition of demolishing them. And if he holds ain stir bekelim, ain binyan bekelim, that there is no prohibition of demolishing kelim, he must hold that there is no prohibition of building them either. So how can removing the doors from their socket be permitted while reinserting them into the socket be prohibited? Abai answers that the Tana holds yesh binyan bekelim, yesh stir bekelim. And the Mishnah means to say that shenitu, that they were removed, not that one is permitted to remove them. The Mishnah means that in a situation where the doors were removed, one is prohibited from reinserting them. Rava answers that the Tana holds ein binyan bekelim, vein stir bekelim, and the Tana prohibits reinserting them out of concern that he might wedge them in and then be liable for makom patish. So the Jew eating corn on the cob in the dark was thrilled when a non-Jewish stranger turned on the lights, because he could now remove the door from his trunk and pull out his blacksmith's hammer to crack open nuts. Which reminds us, the Mishnah says that one is permitted to take a hammer to crack open nuts on Shabbos. Rav Yehuda says that the Mishnah is referring to a hammer that has been designated to crack open nuts, but a blacksmith's hammer would be prohibited. He holds Kli Shemachta L'Isra Afilu Atzara Gufo Aser. Something that is usually used for work that is forbidden on Shabbos may not be moved even for a permitted use. Rava says that the Mishnah is referring to a blacksmith's hammer. Rava holds that Kli Shemachta L'Isra Atzara Gufo Mutter. Something that is usually used for work that is forbidden on Shabbos may be used for a permissible purpose. Daf Kuf Chaf Gimel. So the symbol of Kuf Chaf Gimel is ka-ching of a cash register. So here goes. The hardware store's cash register finally went ka-ching, ka-ching. That must mean we're on Daf Kuf Chaf Gimel. The hardware store's cash register finally went ka-ching when instead of giving refunds back on broken sewing needles, which reminds us, Rav Yosef taught that a sewing needle that had its eye or point removed is not muksa since it still can be used to remove a splinter. The Gemara brings a Mishnah from Kalim that teaches that a needle that has had its eye or point removed is not makabel tumah because it no longer has the status of a kli, and asks, why, according to Rav Yosef, the needle is not muksa if it's not considered a kli? So Abai answers and says, le'inyan tumah kli maisa be'inan, for an item to be susceptible to tumah, it must be a fashion vessel, le'inyan Shabbos, meaning the chazi be'inan. For an item not to be classified as muksa, we require it to be fit for use, and this needle is fit to remove a splinter. Rava disagrees with Rav Yosef and says that whatever is not considered a kli for tumah is not considered a kli for Shabbos, and therefore this type of needle is muksa. So the hardware store's cash register found when ka-ching, when instead of giving refunds back on broken sewing needles, they sold a pricey plow blade, which reminds us, in the second Mishnah on the Daf, Rav Yosef says, Kol kelim nitalin chutz min meser agadol v'yased shel machresha. All kelim may be moved on Shabbos except for a large saw and the blade of a plow. Rashi explains that since the owner is particular about them and designates a place to store them, they are muksa. This category of muksa is called muksa machmas chisar on kis, muksa because one sets it aside for fear of potential monetary loss. The Gemara brings additional examples. So the hardware store's cash register probably went ka-ching when instead of giving refunds back on broken sewing needles, they sold a pricey plow blade just as muksa restrictions were being lifted. Which reminds us, the Gemara provides the historical development of muksa. Nehemiah ben Chachalia enacted the restrictions of muksa in the days of Bai Sheni because people were lax in Shabbos observance. Initially, the decree was extremely strict and only three commonly used kelim were permitted to move. As Shmir Shabbos improved, the Rabban eased the restrictions numerous times, as the Brisa teaches, Hitiru v'chazvi hitiru v'chazvi hitiru. They permitted the movement of additional kelim, and then they further permitted, and they further permitted, until the only kelim that could not be moved at all were muksa machmas chesar and kis, muksa for fear of monetary loss. And there's Malchuk's bin Abai and Rava regarding how the restrictions were lifted. All right, now it's time to conclude with a pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions on Maseches Brachas. Number 1, which stuff do you learn why one can let a Gentile put out a fire but not a Jewish child? That's on Duff. Kuf Chafav. Good. Number 2, which stuff do we have Malchuk is where broken pieces can be moved, whether a Chatzar, a Carmelist, or Shus Rabim? That's on Duff. Kuf Chav Dalet. Good. Number 3, which stuff do we learn why Rebbe was called Rabbeinu HaKadosh? That's on Daf. Kuf Yud Ches. Good. Number 4, which daf do we have a Malchokas where the broken sewing needles are muksa? That's on Daf. Kuf Chaf Gimel. Good. Number 5, which daf do we have a Malchokas regarding what broken pieces of a keli can be moved for? That's on Daf. Kuf Chaf Dalet. Good. Number 6, which daf do we learn about the concept of muksa machmas chesaron kis? That's on Daf. Kuf Chav Gimel. Good. Number 7, which stuff do we have Malchok is whether Kli Shemalachta L'Isser Atzara Gufo is Mutter or Aser? That's on Daf. Kuf Chav Beis. Good. Number 8, which stuff do we learn when you can benefit from a light turned on by a Gentile on Shabbos? That's on Daf. Kuf Chav Beis. Good. Number 9, which stuff do we learn about the historical background of the development of Muksa? That's on Daf. Kuf Chav Gimel. Good. And number 10, which stuff do we learn why the door of a trunk can be removed but not reinserted? That's on Daf. Kuf Chav Beis. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachas. Number 1, which stuff do we discuss dishonoring clothing? That's on Daf. Samach Beis. Good. Number 2, which stuff do we discuss the ending of the Bracha of Asher Yatzar? That's on Daf. Samach. Good. And number 3, which stuff do we learn about Bar Hedya, the dream interpreter? That was on Daf. Nun Vav. Great. That concludes our pop quiz of 10 questions plus the 3 bonus questions of Maseches Brachas. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.